Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. That's how we, Kimberly, that's how we start off all of our shows. I don't like it, but we haven't found a better intro. So here we are. We say Happy Tuesday. We are very excited to have our guest today. She is a realtor, founder of Americana Pickleball. She is also the host of Selling Sacramento on the American Dream Show. She does so many things that I'm probably leaving out. And I honestly, going through your bio and kind of doing some research on you, I feel like you're the reason why companies like Linktree exist, because you have so many different things that you do and like you can't just fit it in one link. So today we have Kimberly Prince. What's going on?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're really excited. And we always start this show off because it's called Connectable. We'd like to start off our show by letting everybody know how we're connected to our guest. And we were just joking off air that we're connected with you because of social media. And it's funny. I feel like so many times people we've had on this show, they do a photo shoot or they're at a certain restaurant or coffee shop. And somewhere in their picture, there you are. And you're involved in something all the time. It's like, she's like, you could be like the mayor of Sacramento at this point, I feel you're so well connected. And so we were really excited to get you on the show because you do so many cool things and you're connected to so many awesome people. So it's pretty simple. We're connected through social media, but I think through a bunch of, you know, common connections as well. So really excited to have you on the show. And now I'm going to be quiet and let you chat a little bit. So tell us a little bit about who you are, where you grew up, and kind of how you got to where you're at today.
Okay. So I'm a Sacramento native. I was born and raised in the Rockland area. I went to Loomis School Districts. So I'm a Del Oro alumni. And as soon as I graduated high school, like the typical story from everyone from Sacramento that I know, I could not wait to get out of here. And I took off to Southern California and I lived down there for about 7 years. Never thought I would come back. My family never thought I would come back. And I ended up one day waking up and being like, nope, gotta go home. And I've built my life here since then in the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. And it turns out to be the best decision that I ever made. And I decided to plant my roots here, start businesses. I was licensed as a realtor when I was living in Orange County. And when I moved up here, Nectar Juice Bar opportunity came along. And at the time I was starting in real estate while the Nectar Juice Bar number one in Midtown was getting built out, and then opened up Nectar in the heart of Midtown, which is like so special to me. The community down there, the neighbors, everyone, it's just so close to my heart. And then fast forward, open location number two during COVID, 2 months after COVID hit, and a couple months after that decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go back to real estate just to make sure that my employees are taken care of. I'm not taking any type of payment or income from Nectar, making sure that our bills were basically getting paid. So I got back into real estate and things just kind of switched for me. And I realized, like, wait, before Nectar, I was super introverted. And it's so funny now that hearing somebody say, like, you could be the mayor of this city. I could not talk to a wall. 7 years ago, I did not want to talk to anyone. I liked people, but I was very shy and observational. I was in the corner a lot, just kind of observing, not really in the mix of things. And then through Nectar, I was forced to originally fake it and talk to people and build these relationships. And what ended up happening is I became just so accustomed to talking to people who I didn't know and making these really wonderful connections throughout the community. And then I got back in real estate and was like, that's all you really do in real estate. So I ended up thriving in that aspect and loved it. So I decided to sell the juice bars and I've been full-time in real estate. And after 2 months of being full-time in real estate and no business, I was really bored. And I needed like that outlet for creativity. And real estate's great. I love my clients, but there really isn't like the fun, creative aspect to it. And so I decided to create a pickleball paddle brand and lifestyle. And here we are, just figuring it all out.
Wow. I love that.
That was impressive that you squeezed all that in. And like, she's a true pro. Because you really squeezed all that in very clearly and concisely, but we got the whole full picture. That was impressive.
Thank you.
I love that you just tried different things, and you remind me of like when you said before Nectar, you were just kind of introverted, and then after that, it just kind of like all of a sudden, you're able to talk to people and you're extroverted. That reminds me of that's how teaching. I'm a teacher, so that's what got me out of my shell. I was super shy, public speaking. I was terrified, and now I'm just like, whatever, it's fine. This is just every day for me.
Yeah.
So, and then with you
You
and yeah.
get
So I
out of
totally get
it. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've talked about this on this podcast before, because we've done a couple episodes about introverts versus extroverts, and I'm naturally an introvert as well. So anytime I talk to someone from college or high school, they hear I'm doing a podcast, and like, what? There's no way you're doing it. Like, you're producing one? Like, no, I'm actually speaking on it. And we've talked before. I feel like there's this thing sometimes with introverts that they're almost secretly, they have this like ability to be really good at those things that they think they wouldn't be. And they don't have the courage sometimes to step out and do it. But once they actually do it, it turns out you're actually pretty good at it, which is a really bizarre thing as an introvert.
Yeah, I think that's really true, especially with me. And I think for me, the key piece to that is I take a lot of time to kind of just observe and kind of gather the information before I will really like jump off the ledge. And so a lot of people will probably look at the things that I've done throughout my career and think like, oh, she woke up today and decided to do this. Like, no, it's been in the works. At one point, I realized like I observe for a long time, but people looking from the outside in probably think like, oh, she just woke up today and decided to do a TV show, or she just woke up and decided to that she played pickleball now. But the truth is, I actually do a lot of quiet research with like my really close sphere and kind of keep things close to the chest before I'm ready for anyone to know like what that next move is. And then I'm like, okay, now that I'm ready to go all in, now everyone can kind of know about it. So that's the point where people start seeing the journey and think like, oh, she just is doing this now. Like, it's actually been in the works for a long time, but now I have gathered enough information to feel confident to go out and do it well. Yeah,
That's
I love
awesome.
that.
Yeah, I love hearing that too, and hearing kind of behind the scenes of the process, because again, something I've talked to people about before is that sometimes when you're working on something, whether it's a book or you're developing a company or any kind of project, it's good to have critique. It's good to have that the group of people that kind of helps you sharpen whatever it is that you're doing. But there's some people that are so desperate for all these opinions that it becomes convoluted, because you're getting like 120 different opinions. Like, well, that's not helpful. And then you have some people that are so introverted that are like, I'm not going to show this to anybody because I'm afraid of the criticism that comes with it. And I can't handle it. So I'm not going to show anybody. And then you're not getting that helpful criticism. So I love hearing that you have a very tight circle that you kind of run things by, you kind of develop the whole thing, and then you put it out there. Because I think that's so smart. And I think more people, should kind of have that tight circle that they can run those things by, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's taken me a long time to build that circle. I'm lucky enough to have a family that comes from a business background, but as far as my friendships, as an adult friendship, I am super lucky that all of my friends are pretty much business owners and doing really big things, especially here in this city. And it's kind of funny, when I started the Americana Pickleball brand, I started bringing it to these different people, and I was wanting someone to be like, what are you doing? Like, no, you just sold a business. Like, you don't want to get back into it. Or no, like, pickleball's nerdy, or this is a bad idea, or it's not going to be anything. And not one person had something negative to say. And everyone was like, no, I think you have something here. And so it kind of goes both ways too, where it's like, I was almost expecting someone to talk me out of it, and everyone encouraged me. And then I was like, well, shoot, now I have to do it.
I love that. Well, it's okay to like bounce around. Josh and I talk about all the time. Well, at least I do. I love using the word evolve. It's okay to like just try new things and do something different. You don't have to stick with one thing for the rest of your life. I've tried different side gigs. I've bounced around and done different things, and I mean, my friends are used to it at this point. So they're like, oh, cool, Deb's trying this now. And I don't care who anyone thinks. So I'm just like, I'm just going to do it. So then that's totally okay. And everyone's going to have an opinion, of course. And at the end of the day, you're the one that's doing the research. Like you said, you're the one that's like put in all the work. You do all the behind the, you know, curtain things that nobody else sees.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's the important part. And I think that's important for people to hear that too, because some people are like, oh, I'm afraid to try this. Or I'm afraid to start this. I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm doing. But if you just start somewhere and then you, you know, you find that you actually enjoy it, you know, it could be worth it. So I think
that's good. I firmly believe that most people don't know what they're doing, especially when they just start. And the people who are successful in things are the people that have been tripping and falling forward, and they have figured it out and gotten better along the way throughout the process. But a lot of people, especially in business, and I learned this operating businesses downtown, and I was very young at the time, and people would always make comments like, oh, you're so young. I was a little bit intimidated by that. And then I quickly learned, like, oh, nobody else really knows what they're doing either. We're all just kind of figuring it out as we go. And as soon as I recognized that, it kind of gave myself this freedom to fail, or not necessarily fail, but to figure it out and accept that things aren't going to be perfect, and that you can evolve and you can readdress and redirect things. So as soon as I learned that, I was like, oh, nobody knows what they're doing. I can figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I feel like you hear people talk about that all the time, right? Like the most successful people are the ones who are comfortable enough to operate in the uncomfortable times, right? And they just understand, like, hey, I'm going to probably feel uncomfortable the majority of the time I'm pursuing these dreams, and they're cool with it. Like, and they almost welcome it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You essentially become comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You just get used to it. Yeah.
So what was, I mean, the pickleball thing is huge right now. And so I imagine the reception was pretty good, but like when you first launched that and you put it out there into the world, I mean, what was the reception like, and what was that feeling like when, you know, people really grasp onto what you were doing?
It was really exciting. And just like how I had brought it to my close circle, everyone else, when I expanded that, was really excited about it. But to be fair, I also think this too, like, it is so random. And the reaction is like, this is amazing, but like, what? Where did it come from? And then if they've played, they understand, or if they try it out, then they understand. But the overall reaction to it was so positive. And I think what made the biggest difference in that is really taking the time to build the foundation of the brand with the marketing and the branding, and honing that in on our brand mission and our values statements and vision. Honing in on that is what made the difference, as I believe, for it to be so well receptive to people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And it's like I said, I feel like all these parks I go to now, every tennis court has the pickleball setup now. It's such a popular thing. Even, I mean, I'm a huge, you know, San Francisco Giants fan. I think it was last year they started doing like a pickleball thing on their field, like one of the, you know, off days. And so it's really exciting. So I love following what you guys do, because again, it's fun because I've seen people on this show, like our friend Aaron Salvetti is, I believe, was one of the people that you use as a model for your pickleball stuff. And I think Cody Allen, who I know from other podcasts that I've done. So it's like, it's fun. Even just for that, it's fun to see. It's like, oh, I know that person. Oh, I know that person, Jace Angelo. Like, you know, all these different people. Yeah. It's just fun to see. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of Deb's favorite boxing instructors.
Oh, he's the best. I could do a whole podcast talking about how incredible he is of a human.
We could
being.
Too. And I've said this before. I hate to keep calling Jace out. We've tried to get him on the podcast before, and he keeps dodging us. He's slipping punches. So, like, we're trying to throw invites his way, and he just keeps slipping them. So if you ever just bump into him, just say, hey, they're not horrible at podcasting. You should jump on.
Yeah.
That would be great. But yeah, no. Yeah, so pickleball. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Deb.
No, I was just going to say pickleball is huge right now. Like, even in one of my units for my PE kids, we took tennis out and we replaced it with pickleball. Just because everyone's doing it and it's fun. And yeah, so I think that's a brilliant idea to do a product in that area. So. Yeah,
the barrier to entry is so much easier than most sports. And even when it comes to tennis, the learning curve is a little bit less because it's smaller. It's not as big of a backhand or big of a motion. So the barrier to entry is pretty simple.
Yeah.
And forgive me if you've already answered this question. Now, were you like a big pickleball fan before you started the brand, or was the idea of the brand kind of what really got you into loving pickleball?
So a little bit of both. And it's so funny that we were just talking about Jace. He actually is the one that introduced me to pickleball initially, and he's the one that taught me how to play. And he's kind of been my right-hand guy along the way of like thinking about it and building the brand and eventually launching. He's been there every step of the way, but he's the one that originally taught me to play. And I kind of knew before going into it, like I was looking, of course I wanted to be like cute and aesthetic and all these things, but I wasn't really finding anything before I had even stepped foot on the court. And so I already kind of knew that there was something missing in the marketplace. And then when I played and I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I want to come back and do this again. They kind of just went parallel along the same road. And I played more often and was like, okay, there's still nothing, and filled the gap in the marketplace because I was personally looking for it and it didn't exist.
Sure. You know, I did want to ask you, because, you know, you're talking about Jason, how he's been, you know, it was kind of part of the inspiration behind the whole thing and kind of got you started. I'm always curious because obviously, again, it's called Connectable. So we're always, you know, looking for the connections and how people are connected with your business. I mean, he's such a creative guy. We see all of the stuff he does throughout the community. So many connections, so much insight and wisdom, and then obviously so much creativity. How important is it for you as a business owner who's trying to create a brand, who's trying to create this business, to one, find someone who understands your creative vision and who can help make that kind of come to fruition? Because there's a lot of creative people out there, but you're not going to connect with every single creative person, and they might just not, you know, vibe with what you're trying to do. So the fact that you found someone like that is awesome, but like, how important to you is it to find someone that you can connect with on the vision?
It's imperable. Like, it is one of the key components to, I think, finding success and also being able to ride out the road of entrepreneurship, because it is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And having somebody by your side who gets the vision, who can, you know, cheer you on and remind you why you started and where you're going is so important, because there are many days where you are just like, forget it. This isn't worth it. This is too hard, too much pushback. It's too much money. It's too much time. There's so many different things that come up throughout the building a brand or a business that it's just, it can be overwhelming if you don't have that. And I think for me, I have that in so many different aspects of my life. I have it in my friendships. I have it from my family. I also have it in my relationship. And he also understands, like, okay, some seasons of life or building a business that's brand new require different things, and you can be supportive in different ways through that. So I think that for me, one of the biggest blessings I've had throughout the business journey is having people who understand the process and are willing to give me their input or, you know, what they're seeing, because I'm in the weeds, I'm in the thick of it. They're able to remove themselves and look from the top down and say, hey, like, you might have a blind spot here. There's a really big opportunity, or you don't have time to do this, but I have a connection. I'm going to help you get there. So it's imperative. It really
is. That's awesome. Sorry, Deb, I have one more question. I don't mean to just like try to dominate all these questions, but I do have a question that I've got to ask before I forget this. It's a dumb one, but one of the big things that we do on this podcast is pet peeves. We've done a multitude of pet peeve episodes. We do like a top five pet peeves, and then it's turned into like six or seven episodes of pet peeves. We have a ton of pet peeves. So if we're looking at pickleball specifically, when you're playing pickleball, when you're on the pickleball court, what is like your biggest pet peeve for anybody who's playing, or maybe someone who's like on the side waiting to get into a game? Like, I'm sure there's something out there. Like, what is your big pickleball pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, but It's a community sport. Ooh, this is good. And kindly Kimberly, trying to stay on brand here. But
well, yeah, we'll see how true that really is. Go ahead.
This is why it's a pet peeve, because people aren't kind. So it's such a community-oriented sport that sometimes you'll go to courts and just having it not be a welcoming environment. Everywhere I play and everyone I play with, if there's somebody new, like, it's very clear how it works. Like, yeah, we're going to rotate in, or like, you put your paddle here and you'll get called up when you're ready. I've just had some bad instances of different communities in the pickleball world where you walk up to a court and there's one person there, and you show up with your partner and he's like, oh, I'm saving the court. My friends are on their way. And we're like, oh yeah, they're not here, and they're not going to be here for 20 minutes. Like, just being courteous on the court and aware that there are so many more players in this sport than courts that are available right now. And it's something that we all need to be aware of. And there's no reason to not be nice and inviting. So my biggest pet peeve is when the community is just not welcoming. But overall, the community is amazing. And that's why you can really tell when something isn't aligned, because you're like, where'd you come from? Because that's not what we're about, type thing.
Sure. Man, that was, you put that very kindly, I have to admit. I would love to know what the worst version of that was, but that was very diplomatic. Well done.
You can tell who the newbies are when they don't know the etiquette or like the rules and stuff. Yeah. You do a lot of things, Kimberly. What keeps you more busy? The realtor stuff or the pickleball stuff? Or I see that, you do, the TV show, like you do so many things. Is it, how do you find balance, or which one does one keep you a little more busy than the other? Or how do you work that out? Cause I have a side hustle. I know a lot of people who do many different jobs, and sometimes it's hard to find a balance between all of that and a relationship and a personal life. And then you got to feed yourself too, and you got to sleep. And so how do you find all that balance?
Getting comfortable with things being chaotic sometimes. There's definitely seasons in any business, but learning those seasons has really been beneficial for me. Like in real estate, I know that come winter and the holiday season, things do slow down. And so for me, that it was strategic and like, okay, that's when I'm going to launch the new business, because I will be a little bit slower. But then also being flexible and knowing that sometimes the seasons are going to come a little bit early or a little bit late. For instance, the real estate industry just kind of, for me, popped off in January, and I wasn't expecting it quite yet. And it has taken 100% of my attention for the last 2 months, which is great. That's where I make my income right now, right? So my business isn't necessarily generating the profit at this point, but real estate is what's keeping that afloat. So being busy here is great because it makes this sustainable. And I think flexibility has been the one thing that is what keeps me sane at the end of the day. Because if I'm like rigid in my schedule and I'm like, no, it has to be super structured, I can't do it all. So being okay that some days you're not going to pay attention to this and you're going to be all gas on one, but yeah, being flexible and just knowing that you're never going to have any schedule that is perfect when you have multiple things going on. Don't let it wreck your day, because your day is going to get wrecked.
Yeah. And then that and having a supportive community, I'm sure helps. Like you said, your tight knit circle of people around you, like
they just key. Understand, like they know, because they also own businesses, and that's been key in having successful relationships or friendships is the true understanding of like, I get it. You're in a busy season right now. Like, holler if you need me. My friends, when I had Nectar, Kayla Jordan from Creamies, she was in there blending up acai bowls. And there's been days where I've been bagging her cheesecake cookies for her in the back of her shop. And we just kind of understand without saying, hey, I need help. If we're there and we see a need, we just automatically fill it, because that's how our business brains work. And it's like, I got you. It's fine. So taking care of each other is really helpful.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That, That makes sense. Well, that's one of the things we always find interesting talking to, you know, people that are as busy as you, because, you know, I heard somebody say once that you can't really balance everything. Like, it's just, it's impossible. So really it's how you manage all the different things that you want to do. And it seems like you have a really good handle on that, which is awesome. Cause I feel like some people that would juggle as much as you do would lose their mind at some point or burn themselves out. But like, you seem to have a really good handle on it, which is awesome. And I think it's probably a really cool thing for people that are maybe considering doing something similar to you, or even like a half of what you do. You know, because they can see it can be done. It's just a matter of putting everything in the, I guess, the proper perspective.
Yeah. But it didn't always, it hasn't always been that way. And there's been seasons where things were completely out of whack. I was completely burnt out. And because I experienced that, I was able to, it's a big reason why I sold the juice bars, because it was not manageable to have really anything else going on, especially a personal life. And I learned from that business, okay, I will never repeat this type of lifestyle in any other business going forward. So I've been very strategic in implementing different things into these businesses and how I'm building them to make sure that I can avoid that, because I've experienced burnout. I still experience burnout occasionally. Like, even right now, we're so busy, I feel like I'm underwater with multiple buyers and transactions and all these things going on where I'm like, wait, what are we talking about? But if you put the systems in place and you implement them, you get better over time. And so again, this is something that when I started, I was just failing forward. And now I'm like, ooh, I know how rough it can be. Let's do the things early on that take time to implement. And they're annoying to sit there and work on the business instead of in the business, but it makes all the difference in how you operate when you are busy.
Yeah. Well, all of that being said, we appreciate you being on the show even more, knowing how busy you are and actually having the conversation with you and hearing how busy you are. We definitely appreciate you, you know, taking the time to do this. It really does mean a lot. You know, one of the things I'm curious is that so much of what you do, and like I said, the reason why we got connected to you in the first place is through social media. And I'm always curious, like, do you enjoy social media, or is it something that's like, I've got to do it, it's part of the job, I've just got to suck it up because I, you know, this is how you build things, or is it something that you actually enjoy doing?
So a little bit of both. It's okay. Definitely changed over time, and how I utilize social media has changed over time. It's a love-hate relationship. I am good at it and it comes easy to me, so it isn't something that I get frustrated with, but the upkeep and just staying up to date with these notifications that are going on, it can get really overwhelming sometimes. But I tend to think I do enjoy it. I look at most of my best friends in the area and we all met through social media in one way or another. And I have a lot of friendships, a lot of networking that's come from it. 90% of my real estate business comes from social media. I do not pay for any type of marketing. And up until recently, when I wanted to choose to expand, but up until this point, I haven't paid a dollar for marketing. And I've used social media. So I love social media because if you, again, use it as a tool and you're authentic and genuine and you attract like-minded people and like-minded energy, it is a wonderful place. I will say that there are corners of social media that they rear their head and it's super ugly. And I just try to stay away from that. And even if, you know, I have a home tour that goes viral on my page, the comments turn so nasty. And I just get to the point where I'm like, you guys, you're on Kindly Kimberly's page. This is not what we're about. You're talking about a house. And like, you love Lincoln and you hate Lincoln. And now you're like feuding each other. And why? So I see a little bit of all of it. But if you use it correctly and you kind of tune out the nasty stuff, I think it is a really great tool, especially for business and friendships.
I was gonna say, I can't imagine arguing over a house, like a beautiful house. Like, why? Like a viral video.
Some people were real mad about the baseboards.
I mean, first world problems much? Like, that's insane. I just can't.
Well, and like you said, I mean, your handle is kindly Kimberly. And just in the 30 minutes we've been talking to you, you're a very kind person. Like, we get comments sometimes on YouTube. Kind of makes sense. Like, we've said some stuff on here. I get it. They're right to make the comments. But on your page, like, you know what I mean? It seems crazy that would be the place for it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I also am the queen of sarcasm, and I kind of shot myself in the foot with my Instagram handle. So kindly Kimberly isn't because I'm this kind person. It actually came to be because that's how I would like sign off on my emails. And then everyone expected me to be just like this little peach and like a little tiny happy-go-lucky thing all the time. And I was like, no, I actually can like, I'm really sarcastic and very dry sense of humor. So then when people see that side, they're kind of like, wait, what? But that's how I sign my emails.
I love that. She's our kind of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Is the like pickleball trash talk also sarcastic as well? Or are you a trash talker?
Yeah. So here's the thing with pickleball. I'm like the coach, not necessarily the player. So when I get out there, like, I'm not the best of the best out there. I have the business and I love the sport, but I can also get my ass handed to me on the court. And, but I will say the very first thing I learned about the sport is my boyfriend and I will go and play singles against each other. And if we have played on the same team in doubles, that's where most of the trash talking is coming in, where it's like, okay, rule number one for a healthy relationship, do not play on the same team when it comes to pickleball. But that's where my trash talking comes in, but he can still kick my butt in it. And I'll still talk trash though.
That's funny. That would be a surprise. Like, I'm sure you get that a lot where everybody's like, oh, she owns a pickleball company. She probably will destroy us. And then if you're saying that's not necessarily the case, yeah, that would be a little bit of a surprise, I'm sure. But that is good advice though, for anybody who's out there who plays couples pickleball. My wife and I have not done that yet. She's also a PE teacher, so I'm sure she's better than me at that, just naturally. Yeah. I haven't played pickleball since I was in eighth grade, so it's been a minute. And so I'm going to keep that in the back of my head though. If we play together, no trash talk.
You can play each other. That's like the secret like sauce right there. Like, play singles against each other or doubles and be on the different teams. Then it's really fun.
Interesting. Which you would think would be the opposite, right? Like, if you're playing against each other, that, you know, it would get like nastier. And then when you're on the same team, it's maybe a little bit calmer, but interesting. These are good notes. I'm taking a lot away from this, like from like relationship perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, kindly Kimberly's relationship advice.
We can do that next time. And maybe next time the connection won't be as bad if you choose to come back to this podcast. No. This has been awful. We apologize.
That's okay. We can totally do this again. I would love to do it again. But yeah, nobody wants my relationship advice, I promise.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I'm going to be respectful of your time. We're about halfway through. We have to get to this TV American Dream Selling Sacramento show, because first I want to say this, as someone who has to do stuff for this podcast, and we do videos where we're recording ourselves giving some kind of announcement or doing some kind of silly thing where we're trying to record ourselves, I take like 50 takes. And so seeing some of your stuff recently where you're out there, I saw the blooper one. So I know you're human, but at the same time, I'm like, you are pretty good at it. So like, good for you that you're able to do that as a professional host. But anyways, all that being said, how did this whole thing come about? How did you get the hosting gig? Can you tell us a little bit about the show, the whole thing?
Yeah. So it's called The American Dream, and my specific segment is Selling Sacramento. And it's this unique type of network where they take realtors in all the major cities across the nation and have made them hosts, because the whole thought process behind that is, if you are a performing realtor in your city, you know all of the places to be, you know the lifestyle, you know where to go to eat for date night, you know, the parks you want your kids to play at. Like, you are the digital mayor of that city. And who better than to highlight what's so amazing about your city? So it's hosted by all realtors. And I was lucky enough to have a wonderful friend in Southern California and actually another friend in Arizona who are both hosts in their cities. And they just referred me. I have a little bit of experience in camera work, photos, video type things. So they referred me and I learned more about it and decided to kind of jump in without knowing too much about it. And I actually signed on to do it when I was a little bit slower in the real estate world over the winter. So I was like, oh, this is great. Like, yeah, I totally have time for this. And then when I got cast is right when I became busy. I was like, oh no, what did I do? So it's been, of course, that's how things happen, right? Like, so again, just adapting and being flexible and figuring it out. But I've been really lucky in, again, talking about Jace, I was able to bring in my own videographers and my own team. And so I had to vet for them, but I got them in and now I'm doing it with them and they're behind the camera, which is really fun. So yeah, that's basically what we do. We just kind of highlight the things that we love about the city, the places, the people, and the landmarks. And I have full creative control over what we highlight. And I'm intentionally going to focus on like the entrepreneurial space and the businesses, and not only like, oh, go enjoy the steak at this new steakhouse, but let's go meet the owner of the business who created the recipe for the steak and why he wanted to open here in Sacramento and what the community means to him. So highlighting Sacramento and why it is so great. That's my goal.
That's very cool. It's awesome that you have the creative control over it too. Like, you have so much input in that. Cause I wasn't sure how that works and what that whole situation is like, but, that is really cool, especially because you know the city so well, and because you know, like you said, the ins and outs, the restaurants, the parks, whatever the case may be. So it makes sense why you would have so much, you know, say over what's shown and how it's shown and all of that. So, and you brought, you know, your own team, which is very, very cool. I think that's great. So when does it air and all of that?
So my first episode will air sometime in April, but I will have it before then and I will be releasing it on my social channels prior to that. So, and then it's on, most of the major streaming networks, which for me, I'm like, I don't really care about that. I'm more so doing it just to connect with the people in the city and bring value. Again, like, social media is my tool for connecting with people. So highlighting what I'm doing on the show on social media and making connections through there is the goal for me. And like, yeah, it might be on streaming networks and stuff, but my plan is to put it on social media.
I love those reels that show, like, and I saw some on your page too, that show like where to eat and like where to go in Midtown. My friends and I are always trying to like find new places to eat for like brunch or whatever. And all of a sudden I get a bunch of TikToks or Instagram reels sent to me. Let's try this place. Let's try this place. Let's try this place. So that is such a good, like a good marketing idea, like how you do that for real estate. Like, they'll even send me houses. Like, look at this house in Texas. We should all go move. Let's live there and live together. Like, you know, jokingly, because whatever, they're so cheap over there compared to California. But I think social media, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like social media has really helped out in the marketing world for entrepreneurs, because like you said, it is free marketing, because, you know, you create a video and boom, it's out there. And then it just kind of gets passed around, and the more people see it, and especially if it looks pretty, like it's eye catching and stuff. And so I love those videos. That it always grabs my attention. So that's how I find new places to eat in Sacramento.
Yeah. And I tell people, treat like agents or anybody that's looking to build business through social media, they'll ask me like, hey, how do you utilize it? I tell people, treat it like a brochure that's there, and you never know when you're going to capture your next potential lead. And they get to go through your entire brochure of, you know, maybe you highlighted something in Roseville, 3 months ago that's going to capture their attention, and you just never know. So post the content and let it serve the client and attract the client that you want to reach by posting, talking to the ideal person you want to reach. That's really the key to it.
You kind of touched on this a little bit before, but if you had to kind of point out one of your favorite things about Sacramento, because like you said, just like everybody else who's grown up here, I grew up here my whole life. I've lived here my whole life. You know, I've always loved it here, but I knew plenty of people that had the same mindset that you did, where they're like, okay, as soon as I have an opportunity to get out, I'm gone. And then there's this weird thing that happens where they come back and all of a sudden they fall in love with the city that at one point they were so desperate to get away from. And so it's always really interesting hearing that perspective, because you did move away for a little while and then you came back. And so now with both those perspectives and now the show you're doing and being a realtor, what is like one of the biggest selling points for you when you're talking to people about Sacramento? Like, what is one of your favorite things and one of the things that you always try to sell people on when it comes to the city?
There's an endless opportunity of things to do. I think people rag on it so much, but there is so much to do, from the food scene to the music scene, or even out in nature. And I know everyone talks about it, so cliche, you're an hour and a half to the Bay, you're an hour and a half to Tahoe, you're an hour to Napa. You are geographically located somewhere that makes living fun and accessible. And if you don't have something positive to say about this city, I think you just aren't creative enough to find something fun to do with your time.
I like that. You just dropped the mic right there. That was pretty good. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was awesome.
Yeah. I'm from a small town, and I moved to Sacramento about 10, 11 years ago. And so to me, this is a big town. And even though I'm getting used to it and I see everything, I'm like, okay, I kind of know where everything is, but there's still so many places that I haven't seen and so many things that I haven't had a chance to look at or visit. So I agree with that statement.
And there's always new places coming. And that's the fun part about it. Like, there's this like turn over of the keys type thing. And the younger entrepreneurs are now coming in with their businesses and new concepts, new restaurants, new events. And there's always something new and invigorating in the city that's happening. So it's fun to watch it evolve over time. Even from when I started Nectar in Midtown back in 2017, from where it was then to where it's at now, granted, we had some hiccups because of COVID and everything being shut down, but the way that events have evolved in the heart of Midtown and downtown, they've come a long way, and there's something for everyone. Like, you love tomatoes, there's a festival for it. Like, you love beer, there's a festival for that. Like, there's if whatever you like, we probably have it.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, and it's been cool too, especially since doing this podcast. There's, you know, so many people that have been on the show from different walks of life, different, you know, skills and expertise. They do all these different things, and it's really cool how everybody seems to support each other. You know, and people that have nothing to do with it. We've had people that do fashion on here that on Instagram, you'll see them supporting a local coffee shop. And then a local coffee shop is supporting someone who owns some kind of business up the hill. And it's just like, it doesn't really matter what the business is, but there seems to be this sense of community amongst everybody, and everybody has the support. And like you said, they're more than willing to say, hey, if you're looking for X, Y, or Z, I know the people that you should connect with. And so I love seeing that. Like I said, I think specifically since doing this podcast, we've really, you know, felt that from different people. And I mean, you're no exception. You're very much the same way, which is cool. And so it is fun, you know, again, growing up here, hearing so many people talk about how rough the city is to live in because of you can't do anything. It's cool seeing so many people now that have a polar opposite perspective. You know, I mean, I think it's good for everybody in the city. So definitely appreciate what you're bringing to the table.
Thank you. Yeah, the Sacramento pride in general is, I just have never seen anything like it in any other city that I've lived in or spent a good amount of time in. The pride that the natives have and the people in the city doing the things have. It's pretty remarkable.
100%. Now, that being said, like I've joked about multiple times on this episode, how well connected you are, how you could be the mayor, could be the queen of Sacramento, kind of whatever you want to do. It seems like you could do it. Now, my perspective of you, it seems like you're well recognized by a lot of people, almost like a local celebrity. Do people recognize you when you go around, like people that you don't know, like when you're just like at the grocery store, it's like, hey, I follow you on Instagram, or I follow you on the American Dream, you know, whatever it is. Do you get that?
Occasionally, not too often. It used to happen a lot more when I lived in the heart of Midtown. And now that I've relocated up to Roseville, it does still happen. But what happens more often actually is people, random strangers that don't actually know who I am will stop me and be like, hey, you look like that actress. And I get this at least twice a week. They tell me I look like Anna Kendrick, and I get it all the time.
I can see that.
You kind of sound like her too. A little bit.
A little mousy. Yeah.
No,
that's not what I was going to say, but
I would say I don't look like Anna Kendrick. She looks like me. So get it right.
She is me.
There you go.
I get that more often, but occasionally people will be like, oh, I follow you on Instagram. And for me, I mean, I'm bad with names of people that I do know in real life. Like, names are hard. Like, faces I've got, but names for me, just, I think that comes from Nectar and seeing 100 plus people a day. It made it really difficult for me to remember names. So when somebody stops me in the wild and says, oh, hey, I follow you on Instagram, I'm like, hi. You know, I feel bad because I don't know who they are. And then once we start talking, I'm like, I know exactly who you are, but it takes me a minute. Yeah. I need like Instagram names, not like their real life name.
I've always thought it was weird when people, you know, say something like, hey, I know you. And then they put the person on the spot and you can tell the person doesn't remember you and they get offended. It's like, is it really that big of a deal? Like, there's a lot of people in this world. You know what I mean?
And also,
I mean, it's just me. I'm get so offended. Blind.
Like, if I don't have these on, I could know, it could be my mom and I'd be like, I don't see you. Like, no. So people do look at me sometimes and are like, yeah, we know each other. And I'm like, I just can't see you. I'm blind. It even says on my license, I can't see.
That's awesome. That's a great excuse. I need to start carrying glasses around. So that way, if I don't recognize someone, it's like, I don't know what to tell you. And then you pull the glasses out. Like, what are they going to say? They can't get upset. That's awesome. Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Well, like I said, anyways, we want to make sure we're respectful of your time. We're almost up on an hour here. Before we get out of here, Deb, did you have any other questions for Kimberly?
I just had a random question. So because you are in real estate, where, if you could pick a house to sell, I was going to say live, but I want to say sell, anywhere in the world.
Oh,
where would you want to sell a house anywhere in the world?
Given I was like, had my license anywhere, I would probably want to be, oh my gosh, like somewhere in Italy and like a villa and sell along the countryside. And like the Riviera area. I think that would be like, top tier. Top tier real estate.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, I'd have a lot to learn about like the cobblestone and how they build the homes over there, but it's a different story.
Yeah. That'd be good content though.
Oh my gosh.
Really for sure.
I know. That's how I started building on social media for real estate. I enjoyed going and looking at homes anyways. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, oh, I might as well post a tour of it. But every once in a while I get mesmerized by the home and I go to make the tour and I'm like, oh, I didn't do such a good job because I actually was really paying attention to the home. And then I'll go back and get a better tour of it. But sometimes I walk into these homes and I just put my phone away because I'm like, this is amazing. I just want to take it all in.
So it's like a sunset. Sometimes like you take a picture of a sunset and it doesn't, like, it's not the same. And sometimes you just want to watch it.
True.
I don't know.
Well, I was curious. You mentioned sunset. How do you feel about a show like Selling Sunset? because my wife watches Selling Sunset on Netflix. Is that like, as a realtor, is that like, how do you feel about that type of show?
So I personally love it. It's a guilty pleasure of mine, but it has nothing to do with real estate and the reality of real estate. it's just two completely different things. Yeah. But I do personally really enjoy watching that show.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. She does as well. So I had to ask, because I was curious. But yeah, I think that's the kind of the consensus with that show, right? Not too much about realty.
Not too much. And then if you actually, like, there are some pretty like hard players and big names on the show, but for the most part, if you can Google their overall production, it's not that impressive. Like, they sold one home that's like a few million dollars, and you're like, you've only sold one thing in the last year and a half. So
pretty tough.
Just, yeah, you can Google these things, and it's pretty interesting when you realize, like, oh, they're on a show not to sell real estate. They're on a show to create entertainment.
Oh yeah,
100%. There you go. So if anybody was wondering about that show, now you know. That's the real deal. Google it.
I'm like, I'm entertained by it, so
there you go.
I still watch.
Then they're doing their job then.
Yeah, exactly. Very different than my show.
I got a sense of that, yeah, from the trailer or from the video that you posted on Instagram. It did seem like it was a little bit of a different show, but yours seems much more interesting. I've got to be honest. So
a little bit more real.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, despite all the technical issues, which we do apologize for. But before we get out of here, where can they follow you? Websites, social media handles, all those different things.
Yeah. So my social media is for Instagram is at Kindly Kimberly, KINDLY Kimberly. And then they can also follow Americana Pickleball on Instagram. And from there you go on Kindly Kimberly, go to my link tree and I'll send you everywhere else.
It's extensive. I went there today.
Oh, if you're a buyer or a seller, you're an agent, if you're playing pickleball, I got you covered.
It's pretty impressive. I was not joking earlier when I said she's the kind of person that they created Linktree for. So it's very impressive, but make sure you guys go follow Kimberly and everything that she's doing. So many cool things. And really, it doesn't matter what you're into, pickleball, real estate, just knowing more about Sacramento, like there's something for you. So make sure you go follow her. And yeah, again, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We appreciate it. And we look forward to following more of what you do and potentially having you back on this podcast to fix whatever
chaos anytime. Has been happening. Whenever you're ready, say the words and we will do Perfect. Round two.
Perfect. Well, I definitely appreciate it. And we will continue to follow you and talk to you soon. Thanks for watching the show. If you enjoyed that episode, make sure you like it, share it, and hit the subscribe button to get a new episode every week. We'll see you next time on the Connectable Podcast.